So we're on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, and we're about to start a Gemara that says Eid Echad Omer Nizgarsha, which you could see. You know, the Tzuras Adaf is such that there are the skinny lines, the thinner lines, and then it gets wider at the end. So right before it gets wider, you'll see, if you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, so that's where we're up to. So let me give a little bit of a background as to what's going on, because this is where we got up to last week when the lights went out. Alright. So the Gemara is now analyzing a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about what's called trei u'trei. So you have two witnesses that contradict another two witnesses. And the case of a woman, and we want to know whether she's allowed to get married. And two witnesses testify that her husband died. So based on those two witnesses, she would be allowed to get married. The problem is that another two witnesses come and they testify that we know the husband is still alive. So what do we do in this case? So Rabbi Yochanan makes the following statement. He says that we're not going to let her get married, but if she went ahead and she got married, we're going to leave things as they are. We're not going to undo the marriage. However, he gives a second case, Rabbi Yochanan, where the first two pair of Eidim said that her husband divorced her, and the second pair of Eidim said that no, her husband never divorced her. In that case, Rabbi Yochanan says that if she goes ahead and gets married, we're going to have to bust up the marriage. We're going to force the end of that marriage, because we're going to assume that her first husband is still married to her.
Right.
And what the Gemara wants to try to figure out here is, why is Rabbi Yochanan making this distinction between a hakhasha, a clash between two pairs of Eidim in the case of Misa, where they testify and fight out the battle whether her husband died or didn't die. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say that if she got married, then we won't break up the marriage. Whereas in the second case, where we have a battle over the issue of whether or not her husband divorced her, and we have a hakhasha in that case, there Rabbi Yochanan says, absolutely not. Not only is she prohibited from getting married, but even if she went ahead and got married, we have to break up the marriage.
Right.
And the Gemara is going to try to analyze these two cases and figure out what's the logical difference. Why does Rabbi Yochanan make that distinction?
In the first case, the husband is possibly dead.
In the second case, he possibly divorced her.
Right.
So why is it that
between death and divorce?
Right. Why is it that if the possibility is that he died, we're going to leave the marriage to this other guy and not break it up?
But
go ahead.
My theory would be that the husband could die, and it could be possible not to prove it, right?
And in the case of get, what about in the case of a get? Where, how would we prove that?
You could go to the guy. Did you give her a get or did you not?
Not really. I'll tell you why. Because since there are two Eidim who are testifying that he delivered the get, his word against the two Eidim would not be meaningful. Which is really interesting. But they testified that they saw him deliver a get, and his denial is being contradicted by two witnesses.
So if he then showed up in court and he's like, yeah, look, I have it right here, I did it.
Right, but he may have given it and gotten it back, or maybe he wrote a different get. You know, there's no guarantee that.
But he could do it at that time then, even.
That's fine, but the problem is he's not willing to give the get at this time. You know, he's denying that he divorced her and so forth and so on.
The only difference I think is that the death is final. And the divorce one, maybe, maybe not, change mine again.
Well, there is another factor here. And this we mentioned last week, but you weren't here. There's the following. A woman, when she hears that her husband died, she does a lot of research.
Sure, right.
The Gemara says, Isha Daiko Mitzvah. She wouldn't get remarried if she had a doubt in her mind that her husband might still be alive. Now, last week we sort of wavered back and forth. How does she know that her husband's dead? I mean, after all, there are two witnesses saying that her husband died, but they're against them, two witnesses saying that he didn't die, and the body is not available. So forensic medicine here is not going to help us. So why do we assume that unless she was absolutely convinced, and how was she absolutely convinced, and she knows that her husband died? So one of the interpretations that we researched last week was an intuition that a woman has. Her husband off to China, wherever he was on a long business trip. If he didn't show up, it means he's dead. Now, she's absolutely convinced of the solidity, if you can say, of her marriage with her husband and so forth. So that might be one factor that kicks in. The other factor that might kick in is, well, in the case of get, it's really flimsy over here, because if in truth, as the witnesses testify, she received a get, where is the get? Now, keep in mind that back in the day, the only way a woman could prove that she was divorced, if she's out in Tucson, would be if she's holding on to the get. That get becomes a proof document. Today, it's a little different. Today, what we do is we take the get and we put it on file and we issue a document with the signatures of the judges who presided over the get. So that's called a pturi. So that's what serves. But back in the day, it was the get itself that served as proof. So it's a little bit questionable and almost unreasonable to assume that in truth she was divorced and yet she has no way of proving it. Because a woman's whole future is dependent upon that one document, and she would certainly have put it into deep freeze, locked it up with 10 locks and not let it get lost. So that's another factor that goes in here. But now we're going to take a look at the interpretation here of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to offer the following possibility, that perhaps the text of Rabbi Yochanan needs a little bit of amendation. And although in the text it says that there were two Eidim testifying this way and two testifying the other way, that's what we call a kosh of trey u'trey, two against two, the Gemara says no. What Rabbi Yochanan was really talking about was the following case. Does everybody have the place? So I'm going to start reading it. It's actually one line above the Tosas Kigon. If you can see, you see a Tosas called Kigon?
Yes.
So one line above there, it says Eid Echad. You have that? Eid Echad?
Yeah.
Okay, just I want you to, my shiur, my textual oriented, based on a text. Eid Echad Omer Nisgarsha, Veid Echad Omer Lo Nisgarsha. The case is that one witness came in, and he testified that there was a get. The other witness testified that there was no get. Now, what do both of these witnesses, even though they're contradicting each other, agree? What do they consent? Okay, let me give you a hint. There's a concept called a chezkas, a chazoka. Chazoka means that there's a certain status quo,
right?
And until we know otherwise, we don't assume that you keep going. You don't assume it's changed. Now, there's a battle here and a contradiction over whether or not she received a get. But one point, they both agree.
Mm.
And what's that? What was her chazaka before the get? Nobody? Yeah, that's called cheskas eishesish. So, they can debate and hit each other and fight this out as to whether or not something removed her status of eishesish, namely that there was a get, but at least both Adam have to grant the premise without debating it that until we know for sure that she was divorced, we cannot break up this marriage.
Mm.
And here we have a funny situation because only one witness is testifying that she received a divorce. She doesn't have the get in her hands with the signatures on it. All we have is the word of one witness. Now, the Torah says, Al pi shnayim edim yakum dover. So we need a minimum of two witnesses. Now, here you have a funny situation. On the one hand, both witnesses together agree that she has a cheskas eishesish. And until we know otherwise, she's presumed to be married. One aide now goes in and says, well, she received a divorce. That's not going to be good enough. the testimony of one aide is not reliable. And therefore, if she went ahead and married another person, we're going to have to break up that marriage. And that's the case that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. When Rabbi Yochanan said that there is this contradiction about the get, whether she received the get or not, and therefore in this case they say that if she went ahead and got married, we break up the marriage, he was referring to a case of one witness against another witness. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says now. The Gemara says, Travayu, meaning both of the Eidim, be Eishas Ish Kamishade, are admitting that they're testifying about an Eishas Ish. And the burden of proof now is on, you know, is on the side of Gerishin, you know, to prove that there was a Gerishin. But there's a problem, because Haide Kamen is Garisha, the one who says that she did receive a get, Havilechad, he's only one witness. And one witness does not have the power to undermine Hacheskes Eishes Ish, which in the Gemara's language is Ein Dvarav Shal Echad B'Makom Shnayim. We cannot accept the testimony of one witness against two witnesses, meaning he himself admits that she was married and now she needs a get. Ella, he claims that she received the get, but the other aide says, well, she was married, but she never received the get. It turns out that there are two witnesses clearly establishing Hacheskes Eishes Ish and the requirement of her receiving a get, and yet there's only one aide that can testify that she received the get, and we cannot accept the one aide to break up that chazak. Okay. Now what we have to do is we have to see what happens in the parallel case of Misa. What happened in the case of Misa? One aide testified that her husband died. The other aide testified that her husband did not die. She went ahead and got married. And now we're going to recognize that marriage. We're going to legitimize that marriage and let it remain. Why?
Right, because they still agree that he was married.
Correct, they still agree she was married, which gives her a Cheskes Eishes Ish. Now she has to prove that that status as a Cheskes Eishes Ish terminated and she can get married. She only has the testimony of one aide that her husband died. Mm. So what's going on over here? Oh. So Tosis points out that when it comes to the death of a husband, the halacha relies on the testimony of one witness. And this is an entire perek not here in Masechta Ksuvos, but in a Masechta called Yevamos, the sixth perek of Yevamos. And that's dedicated to this concept, that when a man is lost and we can't find him, and we have reason to believe that if he's not showing up, he's dead. And not only that, that she has this intuition that if he didn't show up, he must have died. If she goes ahead and gets married based on the testimony of one witness to the effect that her husband died, that's going to be reliable. And this is why, you know, after, for example, I mean, I'm just giving one example of September 11th, you know, there were 11 religious women whose husbands didn't come back.
Right.
And in some of the, they had to, these are called agunos. And in certain cases, they relied on the testimony of one witness that, again, I'm not sure if the witness actually saw the man go up in smoke, if you know what I mean, or jump off the roof, but whatever they saw that was enough testimony to establish that he had died. In other cases, they relied on phone calls and on many different things. At the end of the day, all 11 cases were resolved. In other words, there's not one single woman that's an aguna as a result of September 11th.
Right.
Even though, as you can imagine, you know, how many people died? 2,200? I don't remember the exact number. And how are you? And we don't, you know, we don't have all those bodies, unfortunately, to bury, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
So that's the unique status of Eid Misa, meaning a testimony on the death of a husband, that if a husband is lost and he doesn't show up, we can assume, based on the testimony of one witness, that he's gone. Now, here's our case of Rabbi Yochanan. One witness said he died, one witness said he didn't die. Now it's true that both of them agree she has a Cheskes Eishes Ish. But the Torah relies on the testimony of one aide, together with the fact that she was Daiko Minsuba, she checked it out, and after doing all of her research, you know, hearsay or whatever, intuition, whatever she relied on, she was absolutely convinced that her husband died. In such a case, we could recognize the marriage. All right. Now, I have here a very interesting footnote on the bottom of my Gemara that I wanted to share with you. He says the following, that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us the following idea, that if she doesn't have a cheskes eishes ish, and we don't know whether she was ever married or not, then the story changes. And in that case, if two witnesses would testify that she's allowed to get married, that would be fine. But our problem in the case of this Garsha is that they both aid them, agree that she's an Eishes Ish. Then he goes on to say, and all this is based on the Rashba, that there's another chidush here in the context of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is that in the case of Gerushin, she has what's called a Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitir. Which means the following. Let's say there was no testimony at all, and the only way we know that she was ever married to begin with was by virtue of her own admission. And she adds that she received a gift. In such a case, we would allow her to get married based on a Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. That's codified in the Mishnah that we're studying today. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, in this case, we're not going to rely on our Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. Why? Because we have two witnesses, both of whom agree that she was married. So she no longer has the ability to say, well, you only know that I'm married for myself. It's only my own admission. That's the Pesha Asar. Again, I may have lost you on that last point, but this is something that we've been learning for quite a while. So you leave it on the side. It's not... Okay. Now we go on to another interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is really searching for interpretations of Rabbi Yochanan. Rava Omar li olam treu treinin. Let's go back to the original text and a quotation of Rabbi Yochanan. There are two edim against two edim. So at this point, Rava is not willing to say that we're talking about one witness against another witness. But now we have to introduce the opinion of Rabbi Nachum b'Rab Yossi. Rabbi Nachum b'Rab Yossi, who was quoted earlier on this daf, was of the opinion that when we apply the principle of imnises lo teitze, that if she went ahead and she got married, we're not going to break up the marriage, that only applies if she got married legally, which means that the first pair of Edim came in first, then she got married, and only after her marriage the second pair of Edim arrived in Beis Din. But if she got married after the second pair of Edim arrived in Beis Din, that's a no-go. Then we're going to break up the marriage. So again, we have here two witnesses testifying that she received a get, or alternatively, two witnesses testifying that her husband died. Now we have two witnesses contradicting those stories. She didn't receive a get, her husband didn't die. At what point did she go ahead and get married? So Rabbi Nachum b'Rab Yossi says the following. If she went ahead and she got married after the first pair of witnesses came in, that was a legal marriage. And we're not going to break up a legal marriage even after the second pair of Edom come in to testify that she never received a get, her husband did not die. Why? Because now the chazaka changes. Once she legally got married, she now has a chazaka that she's married to the second guy. And we're not going to break up that chazaka based on two edim. Why? Because those two edim are contradicted by the first two edim. So it means the following. Whenever you have trey, you go back to the chazaka. So Rabbi Nachum b'Rab Yossi says that if the chazaka was established through a legal marriage to the second Mekadesh, then we're not going to break that up in a trey situation. If, on the other hand, she delayed getting married, and now the second pair of Edom came in, at this point, we're going to have to assume the cheskes eishes ish, and therefore, if she gets married now, we have to break up the marriage. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, that statement of Rav Menachem Rav Yossi applies only if the trade trades on Gerishin. Two Edom said she had a get, she received the get, two Edom denied it. But if there was trade on Nisa, on the death of her husband, that's a whole different story. Let's see it inside. Rav Amar Liolam trade Ninu Vira Rav Yochanan Lidvarav Dvarav Shal Rav Menachem Rav Yossi Begerishin Velo Ra B'Misa. Meaning Rav Yochanan accepted the principle that if the second pair of Edom testified that she did not receive a get, she went ahead and got married, we have to break up that match. But if the second pair of Edom testified that her husband died, then if she went ahead and got married, then she's legally married to the second husband. Why is that so? My timer. So Gemara asks for the explanation. So the Gemara says, Misa eina yechola makhashto. In other words, a woman is very afraid of the following scenario. She claims that she knows her husband's married. Excuse me, her husband's dead. She got married. And guess who shows up on his two feet? Her husband. If her husband shows up alive and well, she cannot contradict those facts. You know what I mean? She can't say my husband died if he's alive. We don't believe in the resurrection, you know. I mean, ultimately there'll be a resurrection, but it didn't happen yet. But Gerishin, in the case of Gerishin, Yechola Makashto, even if this is the case that Ari mentioned before, he denies that he gave her a get, she can say, no, he did give me a get, and he's lying. She can't say he's lying if she assumed he was dead and he's alive. That's not gonna cut the mustard. So what does this all have to do with in this a state say low take say, do we break up the marriage or not? The answer is that since a woman realizes that when she gets remarried, there's a very good chance that maybe her claim that her husband died will be contradicted in such a way that she looks like a fool, so to speak. I mean, she's an outright liar. She takes every care in the world to guarantee that her husband is dead. You know, she's not going to put herself in that precarious situation that she's going to go ahead and get married because she claims her husband died, and lo and behold, he's going to show up on two feet. And then she's going to lose, you know, she's publicly, you know, ashamed, humiliated. You know, why did she do this? If she had any children for the sake of marriage, then mamzeri. I mean, there's so many terrible repercussions that for sure she would not rely on anything but absolute certainty that the two Edom that testified that her husband died are telling the truth. And that gives... Go ahead, Aaron.
Even once she heard the two Edom come and say that he's...
So some want to know, maybe the reason why she had the gumption of saying that is because she has two Edom to rely on. Again, we're going to see that as we go on in the Gemara. But right, yeah?
The same... you know, catastrophic
repercussions
also exist by divorce, no?
But not really, because I'll tell you why. If the husband comes by and he says, I didn't divorce her, she doesn't believe him.
Right.
It's her word against his. She has two Edom to testify on her behalf that she did receive
it.
Yeah, it's a suffix, so, you know, in that case, she's not in any tragic situation.
She's no longer a suffix.
So, in other words, we can't say that she did the absolute research and reached the absolute certain conclusion that she, in fact, received a get, just because two Edom are saying so. She knows that two Edom are denying it. She has no way of proving it. And even if the husband comes back, she's not so afraid of the husband. You know, he can't bully her around. She can contend against him that he did give a get. It's his word against her. And each of them are supported by two Edom. She's in the clear. And therefore, we don't really know that the woman did so much research. That doesn't prove anything. The fact that she was willing to get married to another guy. But in the case of Misa, where she knows... she's going to be irrefutably refuted if she claims that he died and he shows up on two feet, that which is called Bar Haruk Baraglav. That's a funny phrase the Gemara uses very often. The dead man comes on his feet.
Dead man walking.
I remember once in my Rebbe Shia, he was taking the attendance. And if you didn't show up and you didn't respond that you're here, he would cross your name out. So after he got to the end of the list, all of a sudden this guy, Shmelki, comes in and he says, Rebbe, I'm here, I'm here. He says, Bah Harug Baraglo. He says, no, the dead man came alive because I crossed you off the Shia off the list. In any event, so this is a case where we believe that she checks out in so many different ways. She gets on a plane to Korea, you know, wherever she goes, to find out whether her husband's still alive or not. He was on a business trip, he didn't show up. And she gathers all the evidence together, and she's absolutely convinced if her husband didn't show up, he's gone. Finito. And that's what's going to tip the scale here. In a case where she went ahead and got married, we're not going to break up the marriage. That's the interpretation here of Rava. Now the Gemara says, "Umichatzifa kulei hai." Does everybody have the place? Aaron, you came in a little late. "Umichatzifa kulei hai." It's the second of the wide lines. Yeah. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. "Umichatzifa kulei hai," which literally means, is she such a balas chutzpah? Does she have so much chutzpah that if she looks the husband in the face and he says, I didn't divorce you, she'll, you know, boldly and proudly say, no, you did divorce. You did divorce me. That's not such an easy thing. In other words, once again, why don't we give credence to the fact that she was willing to get married to another man based on the fact that she knows that her husband divorced her? And what are you telling me? Well, no. Maybe she doesn't know her husband is divorced, had divorced her. But she has the gumption of looking him in the face and saying, you divorced me. No, 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 no. She wouldn't have such a chutzpah. The Gemara is going to try to prove now that a woman would never stand in front of her husband and say, you've divorced me, when in fact, he didn't divorce her. And therefore, the Gemara is tempted now at this juncture to throw out Rava, throw it out, because Rav is assuming that if she gets married after they testify that her husband died, she's absolutely certain because she has to be very afraid. Here too, she has to be very afraid. The Gemara insists that he'll contradict her because she doesn't want to stand up in front of him and contradict him. And that's what the Gemara now quotes Rav Hemnuna. Va'amar Rav Hemnuna, Rav Hemnuna says that Isha Sha'amra Labaila. If a woman stands up in front of her husband and she says, Gerashtani, you divorced me, is there menace? Why is she believed to say that he divorced her? Where's your get? She doesn't have a get to prove it. Chazaka, because we have an absolute chazaka. Chazaka means a very strong piece of evidence. Ein isha me'iza panea bifnei baila. A woman would never have the chutzpah if she was lying of looking her husband in the face and saying, you gave me a divorce.
And the translation
from Ezez is chutzpah. Yeah, did you ever hear of an az ponim? Yeah, if you learn Perkei Avos, you know, now we're learning Avos this time. So there's something called an az ponim. Az ponim is like somebody who's chutzpah. You know, he'll say anything. You know, he'll deny the Holocaust, or he'll tell you that the Palestinians, you know, that the Israelis are cutting out organs from the Palestinians and selling it on the market. You know what I'm saying? They'll deny anything, you know, saying that those are the hazas panim, you know. So a woman doesn't have the gumption, the chutzpah, the hazas panim, to look her husband in the face and lie and say, you divorced me. That's the premise that Rav Hemnuna operates with. And therefore, if we plug that back into this Gemara, then the only reason why she would be believed, I'm sorry, the only reason why she would have gone ahead and gotten married and established and believed that her husband divorced her is because she's not afraid to face her husband and say Gerashtani. That wouldn't be her husband's punishment because she knows that she got a get. So again, we have evidence to prove that when she got married, she knew that she was allowed to get married. In this case, she knew that she received a get with absolute certainty. In the first case, where she got married again because she was certain that the Eidim were, you know, they testified that her husband died, were telling the truth. We still don't know, therefore, what's the difference between the two cases. The whole point of Rav in explaining Rav Yochanan is to justify why Rav Yochanan says that the law of Imniseis lo teitzei, that recognizes her marriage and allows it to go on, is based on Misa. But if it's based on Gerushin, then we're going to break up the marriage. Why is that so? So Gemara answers, Hani, Mili, when do we say that a woman is not, and this is your story from before, is not going to be made upon him in front of her husband? It was to be too much of a chutzpah for her to say, you gave me a divorce, when he's denying it. That's only Hechad Deleka Edim, when in the absence of witnesses, the Kamasayle who are supporting her claim that he in fact delivered a get aval, but nevertheless, Hechad the case. De'ika Edim, the Kamasayle, she has two Edim testifying that she received the get. Then Me'iza, Me'iza. It's not a problem for her. She's not embarrassed to make that bold statement, even in the presence of her husband, and say, you divorced me. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi is correct in the case of Gerushin, that if she went ahead and got married after the second pair of witnesses said lo nisgarsha, she did not receive a get, we have to break up the marriage. Why? Because we have no proof to the effect that she absolutely is certain that she received a get. It could be she doesn't know whether she got a get or not. But since she has two witnesses, she's going to rely on those two witnesses. And even if it means standing in front of her husband and telling him, you know, up front to his face, you divorced me, when he's denying it, she has no problem with that. No sweat. It doesn't take a lot of bold, brazen chutzpah for that, because she has two eidim to support her. In the case of Misa Sabahal, none of this is going to help her, because in the event that the husband comes back alive and well on two feet, then she's obviously disproven and everything was shaken. So again, the bottom line here, in the second interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rava's interpretation, we're talking about Trey, and we're in the frame of reference of Menachem Rabbi Yossi, who says that if she got married after the second pair of Edom came in and testified Lonis Karish, so that we have to break up that marriage, Rabbi Yochanan qualifies, he says, I'm willing to accept that principle with regard to Gerushin, Trey on Nisgarsha, lo Nisgarsha, but I will not accept that principle with regard to Misa. If you have Trey on Misa Sabal, then we have to assume if she got married, she was absolutely convinced that the two witnesses who testified that her husband died were telling the truth, and that's going to allow us to recognize that marriage.
How come we don't give her amiga? Because she's basically foregoing the possibility of collecting a get and money and all these things from her former husband by admitting that she already got it.
Well, when you say collecting a get, you really mean collecting a ksuba.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay, collecting a ksuba. Right.
So isn't that like something she's losing by admitting that she already got the get?
Well, again, her husband's not willing to give her a get, so in any event, she won't be able to collect the ksuba. But I'm not sure that I'm convinced that you're right, that she doesn't have a claim to the ksuba. What's the deal with the ksuba when two Aiden testify that she got a divorce?
Yeah.
And he has no proof that he paid up. In fact, he's denying that he divorced us. Obviously, he's admitting that he never paid up the 200 zuz or whatever it is.
Okay.
Now, I don't know who's the muchzuk and who's the motzi here. You know, we have a principle of motzi mechavel arai. I don't know who's muchzuk, who's motzi. On the one hand, she had a cheskes eishes ish, which means that he didn't pay up the ksuba, but he doesn't. But he doesn't have to pay up the ksuba. But on the other hand, we're now believing her to say that, based on the two Edom and the fact that so the Gemara says at the end, she's not believed to say this guy. Yeah, no. Again, what happened, Aaron? She went ahead and got married to another man.
Right, so that means that...
Obviously, her vested interest here is that the Bezdin recognized that marriage. You know, forget about the Messiah of Zeus right now.
Okay.
You know, the implications of her being married to the first husband and therefore not to the second husband she got married to, those are too severe. So I don't think that she, you know, she has a migu that she could have said Lonis Garashti in order to collect the ksuba, besides which I don't even think he's chayav in the ksuba.
In the case of the Edim, the second set of Edim that come and say that the husband is alive, so why is the Yuchsin issue not a... It was like Mala Asu the Yuchsin, or I would think that might come into play in terms of, well, if we have Edom, second set, saying he's alive, and you have this issue of Mamzerus, and that we're going to be extra stringent in that case and require a divorce.
Well,
I mean,
last week you weren't here when the lights went out. We discussed a concept called Treu Treis Feika Doraisa. What that means is, that all the chazakas in the world go down the tubes once there are two edim contradicting that chazaka. The Torah believes two witnesses in the most supreme way.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate of evidence, right. And it's totally infallible.
Now they're going head to head.
Oh, so the trace fake doraisa means that we recognize both pairs of edim.
Right.
That's the paradox.
Like
that's
the dialectic. At the same time.
Right. No, but I'm asking.
They're both. Yeah, well, I'll get back to your question. Yeah. So both pairs of witnesses are telling you the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Which obviously is logically impossible, but that has that's how the legal system works. So since there are two eidim that are testifying that her husband died, right? Her husband died. Therefore, the original chazaka now goes down the tubes. Why? Because that chazaka is not powerful enough to trump two eidim. So in the presence or in the contradiction by two eidim against this chazok, the chazok is null and void. Therefore, there's no mamzerus, and not only that, add to boot that she wouldn't have gotten married to the second guy unless she was absolutely convinced that after doing all our investigation, our research, that her husband died.
Yeah,
so now we have the weight of the evidence is according to Rabbi Yochanan in favor of the fact that in fact her husband did die, and not only that, the chazok is gone to say that she's an eshesish because two Adam say she had a husband died. So in that case, there's no issue about Mamzeris or Yichson or anything else. Maybe, and by the way, even if you hold Sveikid Rabbanon, but the Torah says Mamzer Vadei Velo Mamzer Sofik. So if you're going to talk about Mamzeris, then there's no such thing as a Mamzer Sofik. In other words, we'll never pass on someone as a Mamzer unless we know he's a Mamzer.
I was like, if the husband shows up, then she...
That's a whole other story.
No. Yeah. No, but the fact that...
Then all the children are Mamzer.
No, because the fact that potentially can happen. In other words, you have two...
No, the fact that that can potentially happen strengthens the fact that we know it's not going to happen. Do you follow? Yeah. That's the paradox here. Because it's very possible that a husband will show up, therefore we know he won't show up. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, really believe it, because we really believe it.
Because we really believe it. We really are absolutely certain that our husband is dead. Why? Because he could show up if he's alive.
Right.
The very fact that...
Now, I'm just wondering, on the other side, the Yuchsin issue, I would think, is Chazal would take that...
Well, yes, so, but again, Yuchsin issues are not...
And the Malin also be Yuchsin is sometimes we're stringent in the area of Yuchsin.
Right, usually that's Kahuna, by the way, but what I'm trying to point out is that before we introduce my loss of the Yuchsin, which I think is gonna just derail us, we have to ask ourselves...
Okay.
No, we have to ask ourselves, well, let's weigh the evidence. Do you follow? If the evidence weighs in that her husband... is dead, and keep in mind, even in the case of one aid, we can testify that one witness can be accepted.
In this case, you have two aids saying that he's alive.
Right, but again, in the other case that we had, you had one aid said that he was dead, one aid said he was alive, and yet we believe the one aid who said he's dead. So, and we're not worried about his showing up alive. That's what I'm trying to say to you, that first we go through the whole rigmarole of what the evidence teaches us and what's the upshot at the end of the day, and if we come to the conclusion that we have enough evidence to allow her to get married, or at least to recognize the marriage if she went ahead and she got married, then we don't have to worry about any possible repercussions.
But again, that's a machlokes if we have contradictory eidim, if you allow for marriage.
Oh, you mean allow lechatchilah to get married?
In other words, if we can say to this woman, you can get married.
So that we're not going to do. I'll tell you why. That's the Gemara that we had two weeks ago.
That's
everybody agrees.
Everyone agrees.
Again, if she got married before the second pair of Aiden come, that's a different story. If the second pair of Aiden came in, we're not going to allow her to get married l'chatchila because of what's called lazus fasayin. You may remember that discussion that we had 2 weeks ago. Okay, let's see what we can accomplish now. And we're on daf of Gimel Amud Aleph. Am I correct? Did I skip anything? Please correct me.
No. We didn't get there yet, did we?
Oh, we didn't? Where am I? Okay, I'm sorry. I lost my place. We're up to Rav Asi. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. So what does Rav Asi say? Rav Asi is about 5 lines up from the bottom of the page. He has a new interpretation of Rav Yochanan. This is Roman numeral number 3. And Rav Asi was, by the way, a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. You know, Rava was already a generation later. Says Rav Asi, forget about Rav Nachum and Rav Yossi, we're going according to Chacham. Okay, now let's see what the Chachamim say. The Chachamim say that even after the second pair of Eidim come into Beis Din, if she goes ahead and she gets married, we will not break up the marriage. And why is that so? Now here's the deal. I'm going to try to summarize last week's shiur in about two sentences, so bear with me. The Chachamim say the following. You have trei, and two witnesses are testifying that she's allowed to get married, and two witnesses that she's not allowed to get married. She went ahead and she got married. So the Gemara says, how could the Chachamim say that we'll allow that to go on and not break up the marriage? There's something called an Asham Tolui, which means that if you violate an Isur B'Safek, you know, we're not sure if you did violate the Isur or you didn't, you have to bring a Karban Asham. Is that familiar to anybody here?
Sure.
It's called an Asham Tolui. We mention it, if you say the Karbanos in the morning, we mention it every day. So the Gemara asks the following question, how can we not break up this marriage? Every single time they consummate, they have a relationship, that incurs another chiyuv of Karban Asham.
Right.
Because they're trei. What do you say, Aaron?
Because maybe she's married, maybe she's not. Maybe she's...
Correct. We don't know. So the Gemara answers that the Chachamim who say that we don't break up the marriage, that's only because the husband himself knows that she's a widow or divorcee, whatever the case may be. That's called, in the language of the Shas, nisesli echad meideh. That's kind of counterintuitive. You would think that one of the Edom can't marry her because he has vested interests. You know, he's the one who testifies, I saw a husband dead, or I saw the divorce. No. There's no din of Asham Talui as a kapara for a sin unless the person himself acknowledges the Safik Isa, the Safik Aver. If he denies the Safik Aver based on his own knowledge, then we can't ask him to bring an Asham Tolu. Okay. So having said that, now that we're ready to learn Rav Asi. Rav Asi Omar Kigon Di Amri Edim Achshav Meis. What's the case over here? The witnesses testify that just recently he died, and then there are two witnesses who say he didn't die. Now, case number two is Achshav Gersha. Just yesterday we saw the Gershin, and the two witnesses now testify that there was no get. Misa Dileka Livrura. In the case of Misa, we don't have his dead body to prove that he died. Let's say he was out there, you know, in the ocean, and he drowned, but we don't know if he drowned or he showed up on the other side of the ocean. Well, let's say he was never consumed by an animal, right? In all these cases, there's no way of proving that the Edim who testified that her husband died are telling the truth. And in that case, we cannot put a reisa on her. A reisa means a counter-argument against her. Why don't you prove that your husband is dead? She doesn't have any way of proving her husband is dead. He's not here to be found. But in the case of Gerushin, Ika Livrura, because... What do you mean? Yesterday you were divorced? What kind of business is this? Amrina lo, we say to her, in Isa de Hachi Avi, if it's really true that that's what happened, and your husband divorced you yesterday or a week ago, Achzi lan gite, where is your get? Now, if the testimony was that a year ago he divorced her, 10 years ago he divorced, okay. We can't expect a woman to hold on to a get endlessly. But if yesterday he divorced you, where is the get? And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says we're going to break up the marriage to the second guy, because we don't really believe that this get was ever delivered. Aye, she went ahead and she got married based on this. No, we're going to break up the marriage. We don't believe that she knows and she believes and she is certain that she got a get, because if so, where is your get? You can't tell me that you received a get from your husband yesterday and you lost it. Okay. Tana Rabbana. We're back to the sugya of treyu trey. But now, we're not talking about a case of a woman who has a chezkas eish hashtish, and we know that she was married, and now we want to, you know, we have contradictory edim to testify that she received a get or her husband died. But now we're going back to the basics, back to marriage itself. Shnayim omrim niskacha. So two witnesses say that she was married to Reuven. Ushnayim omrim lo niskacha. And two witnesses say no, she wasn't married neither to Reuven nor to anyone else. So arezu lo tinase. We're not going to allow her to get married because we don't know which of the pairs of edim are telling the truth. But v'im nisse, since she gets married, lo tetze. Okay, now you want to think about why that is. Why is it that we allow her to get married in such a case? I mean, allow her to remain married in that case. But in the Seifa, Shnayim Omer Nizgasha, Shnayim Omer Lo Nizgasha, HaRezu Lo Tinose V'im Nisse Tetze. Here we're going to say that we're not going to allow her to get married, and even in event that she jumped the gun and illegally got married, we're going to bust up that marriage. Can anyone think what the difference is between the two cases? Again, if you go back to your Chazaka thinking cap. Okay, nobody knows. The beeper went off. We gave you 30 seconds. Alright, so now we're up to Chav Gimel again. Maishno, Reisha, Maishno, say, what's the difference between a case where we have two against two on marriage and two against two on a get, on divorce? Omar Abaye. Abaye says, Targuma, explain it, B'eid Echad. So the Bryce is talking about a case where there's a contradiction between one aid and the other aid. Not two against two, but one against one. Eid echad omer niskacha, v'eid echad omer lo niskacha. One witness testifies that she was married, the other denies. Travayu bipnuya komisade. They both agree that her chazaka was that of a pnuya, a non-married woman. Correct? The question is, did she get married or did she not get married? But one thing was clear, that she was not married until this point. So if we go back to the last vadai, the last state of definite certainty, we know she was not married. Oh, v'haide kamet niskacha. Now one of these two witnesses said, but she was married. Havi lechad, he becomes one aid who is now trying to undermine hachezkas pnuya. Whereas we have two Eidim testifying that she has a Chezkas Pnuya, the Ein Dvar Shel Echad B'Makom Shnayim, we don't believe one Eid against two witnesses. So we have two witnesses establishing her Chazaka, in this case, as a Chezkas Pnuya. And now one Eid is saying, no, she changed that status and she received Kiddushin. He is now contradicting a Chazaka which was established by both Eidim. So you have two Eidim testifying that she has a Chazaka. Now, again, you might ask, so why does it say in the Braisa, lo tinase? So that means, l'chatchila, we don't allow her to get married, even though, again, she has a cheskas eishes ish. That's because, since we have one aid that testifies that she was married, we want to avoid any possible suffix. Now, even though, keep in mind, the rule is that eid echad is not believed to override to trump a chazaka. Here she has a cheskas heter. But the Braisa nevertheless insists that lo tinasi lechatchila. And that's what this Tosfos, you see this Tosfos Travayu here?
Yeah.
He's trying to work out, why is it lechatchila? We don't want to let her get married, because that's not like the case, Aaron, that we discussed earlier before we trade. There we don't want to get married because we really have a suffix d'oraisa. Here, the Torah clearly relies on Hacheskas Pnuya, and the Safi can't undermine that Chazaka, so therefore she should be allowed to get married L'chatchila. So Tos says, Kigon She'anu Yodim She'zarek La'kiddushin. Okay, this is a very complicated case. The man threw money at her, and said, Arei HaKidushin B'mana Zu. And we're not sure where the mana landed. There's something called Karev Lo, and something called Karev La. Right, let's say they're separated by a distance of 8 amos. So did he throw it 4 amos plus and it's karav la, or did he throw it 4 amos minus and it's karav lo? And on that we have two witnesses, one testifying that it was karav lo and the other that it was karav la. And here we don't want to let her get married. Why? Even though she has a cheskas pnuya, because we don't know if she got married or not, whether it was Karav law, but the very fact that he threw Kedushin at her and she was willing to accept that Kedushin, that itself puts a dent in the Chazakah. There's a reisa, there's some sort of reisa in the Chazakah.
That means he'd have to give her a get also?
I think so. Yeah, because again, she's not allowed to get married. Whenever a woman's not allowed to get married, he has to give her a get. I mean, if he wants to remain married, so that's fine.
He shouldn't throw the get.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So now, we have the Seifa. Seifa, Eid Echad Omer Nisgarsha. The Eid Omer Lo Nisgarsha. We have one witness testifying that she received a get. The other that she did not receive a get. Again, what was HaChazok according to both Eidim? That she was married. She has a Cheskesish. Shavaya Beishesish Kamasadeh. V'hai V'kamer Nisgarsha V'lechat. There's only one witness that's undermining that cheskas eishesish. Vein dor v'shalecha v'makum shnayim. We have two witnesses testifying that she's an eishesish. Then one aid is not believed against the two witnesses to undermine that chazaka. Again, this is not the case of Misa. As we discussed at great length, in the case of Misa, we really believe that her husband was died because the very fact that she got married must mean that she was certain and she checked it out. She doesn't want to get into a situation where he'll come alive. So all this is the shita of Abaye. Again, and what's the purpose of Abaye? Let's not forget out of the forest for the trees. The Brisa says that in Trey, regarding Kedushin, if she gets married, we don't break up the marriage, but Trey on Gerushin, if she gets married, we'll break up the marriage. In the first case of Kedushin, says Abaye, Ver Chazaka, and that's agreed upon by both witnesses, is a cheskas pnuya. And in the second case, both witnesses agree that ha chazok is a cheskas eishes ish.
What's the status of the children if we do break up the marriage? Of the new children? Are they...
You're asking, are we going to...
call mamzer?
Yeah, or like what...
No, again, it's going to be the principle of mamzer vadei velo mamzer sofek. Meaning, again, we're only breaking up the marriage... Just 1 second. Well, what case are we talking about? Nisgarsha?
Yeah.
So we're only breaking up the marriage based on suffix.
Right.
And that suffix is not enough to create mamzerus.
But does that throw a suffix on their yuchsin? Like, are there actual ramifications?
Gehuda?
Yeah. Like, are there actual ramifications? Or
yeah, she would not be allowed to marry. Well, again, keep in mind, I mean, Manafsha, she can't marry a Kohen.
What about her kids? Like, is there any practical nafkamina between?
Do you want to know if our children could marry a Kohen? Let's just think about that. Again, we're assuming that what? Just 1 second. What's the case? Misa or Gerushin? We always Gerushin. Have to make that. So we're talking about Gerushin, and we have two witnesses that testify that Lon is Garusha, that she didn't get a divorce, and if that be the case, the children are certainly possible. The kahuna, that's for sure. Now you're asking, what about the two Eidim who say that she did get divorced? So even according to that, but she didn't marry Cohen. She married a Yisrael, and we're going to break up this. So the children are Ksheri. You want to know what? If she afterwards her third husband was a Cohen? Well, what's your case?
No, my question
the second marriage was to a Cohen?
No, my question isn't about her, but about her children.
No, but I'm asking, what's the case? You had two witnesses saying that she got divorced. Yeah, two witnesses saying that she didn't get divorced.
So then we make them split up.
And she got married to someone else. Now we're going to break up the match because we think that we have a bona fide suffix here as to whether or not she's an Ashes Ish. But I told you that the children are okay because mom's a Vadi below, mom's a suffix. Now you're asking me about Kahuna, I think.
So who's the second
Makadish? Is he a Kohen or is he not? Let's go through the cases. If he's not a Kohen, if he's a Yisrael, then Yisrael's allowed to marry a Grusha. Correct? So even if we believe... and on the level of Psule Kohol, we said Sofek Velo, Vare Velo Sofek. So that's okay. Now you're asking me, what if her second husband was a Kohen, and the two witnesses testifying that she received a get from her first husband, then the children would be Chalolim, there are two witnesses that testified that she didn't receive a divorce. So either of them, then she's then not only chalol, they're also mamzer, you know, on that side. Again, l'maisa, we won't make them into mamzer, but certainly mimarav shach they're chalol. So that's if the second marriage was to a kohen. All right. Now Rav Ash, new interpretation of this price. Li olam trey trey. Why did Abaye have to go into that very dochuk, you know, that very narrow alley, and assume there was 1 8 against 1 8? No, we're talking trey trey, and that's exactly what it says in the price. Shnayim omer niskash, shnayim omer lo niskash, shnayim omer niskash, shnayim omer lo niskash. So we're talking about trey trey. Okay. The epoch. In other words, even Rav Ashi is going to agree that we have to change something around in this price. And his Eitzah, his wisdom is, don't change around the two Eidim and make it into one against one, but change around the din of Teitzah. Right? We have Teitzah in the case of Gerushin, and Lo Teitzah in the case of Kiddushin. No, switch it around. Dafka in the case of Kiddushin, Teitze. And in the case of Get, Lo Teitze. Why? So he explains. Shnayim Omer Inu Sheniskadsha. There are two witnesses who said, we saw that she received Kiddushin in our presence. Ushnayim Omerim Lo Ra'inu Sheniskadsha. Now watch this. When the second pair of Eidim contradict the first, what exactly are they saying? One option, and this is what we believed intuitively, is that the first pair of Eidim said that on Sunday at 7 o'clock in the Young Israel of Cedarhurst, you know, we witnessed this Kiddushin. The Rav HaMesader, I don't know who the Rav is, Heshi Billet? No, he's in the other town. Woodby, I don't know who's in Cedarhurst. Oh yeah, that's Wine's son-in-law, what's his name? Teitelbaum. So Rabbi Teitelbaum called us up as the Heiliger witnesses. So we witnessed in the Young Israel of Cedar, Lawrence Cedars, we witnessed this Kiddushin. Okay then? What does the second pair of Eidim say? We were there in the Young Israel of Cedars at the appointed, the so said time, and there was no marriage. That's one way of learning. Comes along Rav Ashi and he suggests no. What they mean is not that we were there at that time and there was no marriage ceremony, but to the best of our knowledge, she was never married. Oh, what does it mean? He says, in such a case, we're going to have to break up the marriage because she does not really have two witnesses to rely on to contradict the original two witnesses and to establish that she was not married. The second pair of Eidim say, well, by hearsay, we know she's not married. Why? Because we didn't hear anything about her getting married. You know, it would have been splashed on the front covers of the Five Towns. What's it called? The Five Towns News, Jewish News. You know, I know that rig, but I forgot the name. So how could it be that she got married and we didn't hear about it? That's not called
hakasha. Contradicting, right?
Correct. They're not contradicting the Eidim on the testimony b'shas ma'isa. You know, that specific time, that specific place, and therefore, since we have two Eidim that establish that she's married, we're going to break up the marriage when she went ahead and got married to another guy. Pshita, the Gemara says, of course. I mean, this is not lo ra'inu eino raya. You know, the fact that we didn't hear anything about a marriage, that doesn't prove a thing. You know, maybe they got married and you didn't know about it. That's all. It wasn't splashed on the front page of the local Jewish Times. You know. Lo tzricha. No, what's the chiddush here? The direi bechatzar echad. That they live, these Eidim who are saying that we didn't see any marriage, they live in that chatzar where she lives. Right, in the same apartment building or whatever it is. And if the Eidim are telling the truth that she got married, ma'u detema, in Isa this kacha kola isle lamils. It's impossible that in this chotzer, you know, there's a small shtetl here, that in the backyard she got married, and we don't know about it. Kamash malon di avdei idish de makachi bitzino, that it's very feasible that a man is a little embarrassed about this marriage. He, you know, maybe he's not marrying the, you know, the top notch girl here. And yeah, they elope. Or, well, elope, but with Radha Masada and Duraden, right? Because they're Duraden here. But basically, it was done on the hush hush. Sefer. Now we get to the Sefer Shnayim Omer Ra'inush and Isgasha. Shnayim Omer Lora'inush and Isgasha. I raise the Lotinos in this case, Lotetze. In this case, when you have Trey and Gerushin, if she went in, she got married, then it's okay. My Kamashmal, and what is the Brisa telling us? Afal Gav did Dire Bechotzer Echad. Even though these witnesses live in that same Chotzer, and they're claiming, well, we didn't hear anything about a get. Well, what do you mean you didn't hear anything? Maybe it was given in privacy, in silence. Hainu Hafsi, you're just telling me the same thing, and the din, therefore, should be the same identical din as the Reisha. And therefore, when the second Edom say, well, we didn't hear about it, we throw that out of the court. That's not significant. It has no weight to it. And if it has no weight to it, we go back to the first two Edom who say, this Garsha, and therefore we don't have to break out the marriage. So again, the Bryce is not telling me anything new. With regard to marriage, it's feasible, it's reasonable to believe that maybe he was embarrassed about the marriage, and if he did it clandestinely, and nobody knows about it. Avol gabi gerushin im isa di garsha, if the two Edom are telling the truth, that in fact she received a get, kala isle la milsa. You know, the ears have, you know, the walls have ears. Everybody would know about a divorce. And why would everybody know about a divorce? Because we have to publicize a divorce. In fact, the halacha requires 10 people at a divorce. And the reason for that is we want to make sure that a kohen knows that she received a divorce. So again, in the Hava meeting, you might think that certainly the divorce has that element of publicity to it. And how can we believe two Edom were saying that we witnessed the divorce when there were another two Edom were saying that we live in that same chatzer and we don't know anything about a divorce? Kamash Malan, that's the Kiddush of this Braisa. According to, I forgot the name here, according to Rav Ashi, that Avidi, Inshi Demakache Umegarshi Bitsina, to the same extent that it happens that a man might marry a woman privately and nobody knows about it, so too he might even divorce her privately and not tell anybody about it. And therefore, although we don't want to rely on these Edom who say that she got a divorce, lechatchila, so we're not going to allow her to get married, but if she went ahead and she got married, since she has two Edom that are bona fide two witnesses that claim we saw the divorce, we're not going to break up the marriage to the second guy, because the second pair of Edom are just testifying from the absence of a kol, not from positive knowledge. They weren't there at the time, the so-called get, to say that there was no get, but rather they're testifying based on the fact that they didn't hear about the get. So now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "V'im niseis, mishen niseis bo edim lo teitze." Right? If let's say, for example, this is true even according to Rabbi Nachum Reb Yossi. Did I get that name right? Sorry, is it Rabbi Nachum Reb Yossi or the other way around? Yeah, I got it right. Rabbi Nachum Reb Yossi. That was just pure luck. Rabbi Nachum Reb Yossi, that if she got married before the second pair of Edom came in, that's okay. And lo teitze. Oh, so now the Gemara has a machlokes as to what's going on over here. We'll see there. Rav Oshia masnile aresha, Rabba bar Ovin masnile asefa. Okay, now what goes on over here? In the Reisha, if you remember, a woman comes forward, we have no testimony one way or the other, and she says, Eishas Isha Yisi Grusha, which means that she has what's called a Peshas or a Peshit. We don't know that she was ever married, except by her own admission, and now she says she got a divorce. She went ahead and she got married to a second guy because we accepted her credibility based on Peshas or Peshit. And now two witnesses come into Bezdin and they testify that she was originally married. Now, we don't know whether she got a divorce from that marriage. That we have no, we're not privy to that information, but we know that she was married. Now, the whole basis we believe to her is because Peshas and Peshahita. She was the one who told us that she was married. But now we have two witnesses telling us that she was married. Do you follow me? So that undermines, that takes the rug out of under her nemanis, her credibility, based on Peshas and Peshahita. So in that case, what would be the deal? You might think that now that we've undermined the whole basis of the Peshas and Peshahita, we have to break up the second marriage. No. The Mishnah says, lo teitzei. Why? Because these eidim came after she got married. And the moment she got married, she was legally allowed to get married based on the Peshas and Peshahita. We're not going to undermine and negate that chazok in that marriage. That's according to Rav Hoshea. Rabba bar Ovin, masni le asefa. What happened in the sefer? We don't know that a woman was ever captured. She comes along and admits that she was captured. That's called Ishbesi. But she claims Tahorani. She's allowed to marry a Kohen because of a Peshas and Peshita. Normally, a woman who's a Shvuya is not allowed to marry a Kohen. We assume that one of the Goyim defiled her. But here, she's believed to say that no one touched her, which is a Pele, but that such thing would have happened. But she's believed based on a Peshas and Peshita. And therefore, if Adam come afterwards and they testify that in fact we know that she was Nishbeis and therefore she should be prohibited to marry a Kohen, nevertheless, we're not going to break up that marriage because she was believed at the time that she had a Peshas a Peshahita. The Gemara is going to say, Man demasli le aresha kol shken asefa, and Man demasli le asefa aval aresha lo. Okay, we'll stop.
Does anybody have a pencil by any chance?
Oh, okay, I'll use it.